This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes, good morning, everybody. Here we are, live, ready to take on the day. I'm so glad we've got a decent coffee machine here, because it's become like a habit of mine now, and I never used to drink coffee. I always used to have tea. Leanne. There you are.
Miss, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Happy birthday, Gareth.
Thanks, Google.
Welcome.
Thanks, Sia.
Monday, I mean, which is not the greatest day for a birthday.
It's killing Sia. Sia likes
I can't even say it.
All right, so I hate, like, any fuss being made on my birthday, and I especially gave an edict when we started this place. I didn't want any fuss made. And it kills Sia, because Sia likes to make a fuss of things, right?
Gareth, it's either I go 0 or 100%. And right now, the fact that I'm respecting your wishes by going 0...
I know.
He's still got rusks, though.
He brought me a very, very nice Cine Rusk rusks.
See, we can't even call it a gift. It's just breakfast.
I just don't like a fuss, man.
For the day you exited the womb.
Yes, exactly. We had a little lunch yesterday. My parents had it at their house, and... You know, I invited a few people who, they're all just really close family friends. So it was small. It was probably, 12, 13, 14 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are running around and everything. That was good. That was all I need. I don't want a fuss. I really don't. I just don't like it. It's happened somewhere in the last 8-9 years that I've just decided I do not like anyone making a big noise around my birthday. Just too much attention for me. Don't like it anymore. Once when I liked attention, it was good.
Well, what was the last big birthday you had? You did celebrate your 30th.
I had a big 30th, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I haven't had a party that I've organized properly since then. I don't want to. It fills me with dread.
I think the worst stage was... Everything, I think maybe in the early 20s onwards, so from your 21st, with the pressure to make sure that everyone was having fun on your birthday would actually make me not have fun.
Right.
Is so-and-so happy? Do they feel obliged to stay? Do they want to go club hopping? Don't they? Oh, can't.
Yeah, I would rather just have a nice day. And I don't have any plans for the day today. I don't have any dinner arrangements, no lunches with anyone special, nothing, zero.
Goodness.
I do have to go to gym. I have to take the dog to the parlor to be cleaned up and cut. I'm taking delivery of a washing machine because my washing machine fucked out last week.
To self?
That's my birthday gift to myself. I spent e-bucks. I didn't even need to spend money. It was great. And then... What else am I doing today?
And you're happy with that?
Yeah.
And that is why this year I respect your wishes.
Thank you, see. I know it's killing you.
Nothing at all.
I know it's killing you, but thank you.
We're just going to have a show. That's all.
That's right. We'll just have a show.
I did, though.
What did you do?
I was trying to twist everyone's arm here around the office. I was like, guys, don't you think we should? And maybe we can. They're like, nope, nothing at all. Nope, just keep it quiet, keep it calm. It's just another day here. And that's when I came to the conclusion for myself that... Just up until I have more money, then we're going to see things pop off.
He's basically saying, give him a raise.
Sia's one of those people who, when he does have a lot of money one day, and he will.
I'm going to have a mini wedding for my birthday.
Every year.
Yes.
Yeah. Sia will spend the equivalent of some nation's GDP just on a big... It'll be like a cross between the world's biggest gay pride parade... And a TV
the royal
show.
Wedding.
And a royal wedding. And the TV show. Like a fully produced TV show with dancers and singers and mime artists and clowns. And there'll be just fucking everything. It'll be wild.
Realize for my 35th birthday, I want to arrive. It should be on some big open piece of land, like a gorgeous garden. And I'll come down in 35 big white balloons from the sky. And each balloon will pop and there'll be a burst of confetti and I'll just gracefully and slowly come down to earth.
I can imagine something going wrong. Him screaming.
Thinks he's just going to come down like the angel Gabriel.
Yes, I'll be doing my favorite thing in life, looking down on people.
Yes. Got a major,
who
major
are you
problem.
Hoping has the best time at your parties? You or they?
Me.
Always him.
I don't care if confetti lands in people's eyes.
Let's start off with some messages this morning. Ruth says, my boyfriend's sister gave him a copy of your book for his birthday, so I picked it up and I haven't had so much fun turning pages since Harry Potter.
Mm.
Wow. And I mean, Harry Potter's a good story. Mine's just bullshit. By anyway, thanks. That's nice of you. That's very nice, Ruth. I was in Durban this weekend, which was good.
Yeah, when did you come back? Yesterday?
I got back yesterday at lunchtime.
How was that?
It was great. It was lovely. I went and I did a talk for about 200 or 300 people who are in the travel and tourism business, and they wanted to talk about how the media world has changed and how, you know, the internet has just upended so many businesses and forced them to do things differently, including obviously the travel business.
Mm.
And it was fun. It was good. Met some nice people. And then I also had, you know, I've got a whole lot of friends there. And all these years of being a DJ in different places, wherever I'd go, I'd end up meeting with those friends. So now I don't go as often because I'm not doing these DJ gigs anymore. But I'll go to Umhlanga or Cape Town or, you know, Nelspruit or wherever, and there's always someone that I know there, so I make an effort now to see them. And then I get like a little list on my phone of all the Durban people that I have to see, all the Cape Town people, like PE people I have to see, and then when I'm there I just like message that list and say, I'm in town, do you want to do something?
So did you have a big social weekend as well?
Friday night, pretty big weekend.
Big
Saturday,
tequila day.
Big one, very big. You woke up feeling pretty shitty on Saturday. But I got over it quickly. You know, the key is I don't drink anything but tequila, right?
Yeah.
So I don't really get hangovers. But I do think it's important to wake up the next morning and get up and get out of bed. Because if you lie there, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. You actually need to get your day started. You need to hop in the shower and do things.
Oh.
And then it wears off quickly. If you lie in bed, it doesn't matter how many headache tablets you take or how much water you drink or how much junk food you eat, you're going to feel worse. I know that's what everybody thinks they must do. But honestly, in my experience, and there's been a lot of experience.
Oh, yes, you've had lots of experience.
I can hit the party hard the night before, and then the next day, as long as I get up and I get going, it's fine. Then I don't feel bad at all.
Like at what time? What time do you have to wake up and you feel like you'll be fine?
Well, you wake up. Your body goes, okay, time to get up. Mm-mm. And then you're like,
my body doesn't get out of bed.
No, you're like, maybe you'll wake up because you're desperate and you've dried out like a prune and you hadn't, you know, how you've just, and you passed out in your clothes or whatever. I mean, I don't do that anymore, thank God. But you're a mess. And then you wake up that next morning and you go, I can either lie here and waste half the day, which is usually what happens.
Yeah.
Or I can get up and start the day. Trust me, you feel much worse if you lie there and carry on lying there.
Yeah, there's also the remorse that sets in. So for your mental health, it might be better getting up. Because otherwise, it's a case of
I don't ever feel
up.
Guilty. I never feel
what
guilty.
What remorse?
Do you feel guilty?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Because I may have done or said things that I should have.
Yeah.
Or overstayed my welcome.
Oh.
Just like what I'm doing to my liver and the world's coming to an end. But sometimes it's like wake up in my clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were probably comfy anyway. Mm. It's like, who cares?
And then, much worse to wake up without your clothes.
No. Wake up in my clothes, feel sorry for myself all day, have a shower in the afternoon and get into my pajamas.
Oh, my God.
It's like that's when you know it's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, look, good weekend all round. Anybody do anything fun here?
Well, I went to the neighbor goods market for the first time since living in Joburg. And that's been, what, good five, six years?
It's taken you a while.
I've never been. I've no idea why. I've been to Maboneng. I've hung out in Brum before.
Sure.
But I haven't been to neighbor goods before. And it was actually quite a cool vibe. Has anyone been there before?
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Have you been there before?
Very nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, it encourages a lot of day drinking. And
people are into that, hey?
Yeah.
They prefer that to...
It's like, and let's start you off with craft beer.
Yeah.
welcome.
There's always something infused with alcohol there as well. There's like coconut water infused with, you know, some sort of liquor. There's an innocent looking mimosa that has tons of some sort of MCC or champagne with it. So we got there at like 10:30 and I didn't leave up until 4. Oh,
not, not your average morning market.
No.
See, the problem with day drinking is I don't want to be catching Ubers during the day and stuff like that. It's just, it gets very messy. And also, you do fade early. Like if you day drink, you by 4 in the afternoon, you're finished. You're like, okay, I'm going to go home now.
See, then in my case, I want to go home and nap. And you end up waking at like 11 p.m. You're like, what? Where am I? What happened?
That's deadly.
What time zone am I in?
Deadly. You actually don't know where the hell you are.
Mm.
Completely confusing.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah, but that neighborhood's market's cool. And there are lots of things like that around that are, you know, kind of way more fun than the same old that people used to do. So I'm all up for that. That's good.
Mm.
I must tell you, though, the weather in Durban is just so much better than anywhere else.
My goodness,
they don't have winter. They don't know what it is.
I think really
smart people live there because they've figured out that we can avoid winter completely.
And because everyone leaves you alone when you're in Durban.
Yeah.
I'll never forget one of the first conversations Leanne and I had when we just started Cliff Central was Leanne really and earnestly looking at me and saying, wait, you've never owned winter clothing? I'm like, Leanne, yes. I've never, because it was my first serious winter. I was like dying here.
Wow.
Because in Durban, we've just never had to. You throw on a jacket if you have to in the middle of winter. Otherwise, you don't. There's nothing that you have to get.
It's not even an if you have to. It's if the clouds start to roll in a little bit, people just throw jackets on and boots on. It's like, but it's not
there's
even cold.
There's this friend of mine who lives in Durban. He was out on Saturday night. There was some kind of pre-bachelors, or you know, now the bachelors has become like 7 days and they're different occasions.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, he was out with some other mate of his who was getting married and it was part of the celebrations for him. And he was wearing one of those puffer jacket things.
And you're like, what are you doing,
I said,
Frank?
Are you cold? He went, yeah, a little bit. Because in Durban, if it drops below 25,
below 25, yeah.
People are like, oh, Jesus, it's freezing. And I took a jacket with me. I didn't use it at all. We got off the plane here in Joburg, needed it.
Yeah, that's always the cold realization.
I had a family member who'd come up from Durban. She lived there and worked there. And she would have to sometimes come to her Joburg office. And in the middle of winter, she'd pitch up to stay over in a little summer dress with a crocheted jersey with many, many gaps and holes. And that's all she would have to wear. And she'd be absolutely freezing, obviously. But she couldn't imagine how it could be colder when she was packing.
No, it doesn't make sense. I do envy Durbanites, I'm telling you.
Cassandra says, morning, bitches. Happy birthday, Gareth. I hope you have a great day, despite the shorty attitude towards surviving another year on the planet. I'm not just surviving, bitch. I'm thriving. I am so hungover this morning, and I'm giving my class free time.
Oh, no.
Yes, this is from Eddie. Jesus, Eddie, you don't mess around. Getting drunk on a Sunday.
And I'm assuming then it is
an actual school night.
It is a teacher then.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a teacher like that in grade 9 who was.
It's not the one who went into porn.
No, not that one. Okay. Yeah. You remind me.
Yeah? Well, it's interesting.
We had a teacher in his early 20s, and we always had him in one of the first couple of lessons on a Monday. Always knew he was hungover.
Yeah.
Always have the lesson off.
Yeah, you can't hide it. I mean, like, there are people who think that they can get away with. People won't know that they're hungover or they're still drunk.
Mm-mm.
You people know.
Oh, we like a teacher like Eddie.
Yeah. All right. I've got to just say one other thing. I don't like our national carrier, SAA. I've always tried to support them, and I don't want to anymore because I think they're a bottomless pit and government just don't know how to manage anything.
Did you fly them this weekend?
I had to fly Mango. And both the flight down and the flight back were delayed. I was very annoyed. I'm not going to fly them again. I don't care if it's cheaper. It's actually really bad. And I wasted, in total, probably about 5 or 6 hours in airports because of delays. Mm-hmm. And that's
such a short trip.
Exactly. That's hard. Really annoying. That's like a half of your day that you spent sitting in airports. And don't get me wrong. The one thing I love about the airport is that slow lounge. And if you don't use the slow lounge and you are missing out on life.
Yeah.
God, it's nice. It's just so civilized, you know. There's space for everyone to sit. They've got a bar. They've got a coffee machine. They've got food there. You can even book a massage.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Quiet and relaxed.
The slow lounge?
Yes.
I've never really made use of it. Oh, I always know say like a private, you know, the health room or the wellness room or something.
You can have the public one where they just bring the bed into the middle of the room.
No, they don't. Leanne talking shit. Good morning, guys. Happy birthday to UG, getting better with age. I've loved you and been a fan since you did gigs in Stellenbosch clubs, and I would admire you from a distance, wishing you all the best. Fan for life. Let me see who this is. Oh, that's nice. It's from Venetia. Venetia. Well, it's a picture of her daughter, so I don't know.
Okay. And if she wasn't? Okay.
Well, I mean, we have to make sure for Garrett's sake, you know.
It's always nice.
Okay, you're on the prowl again. Oh, well, you always are on the prowl.
Are you on the prowl?
No, we're never on the prowl.
What did you do this weekend?
Dude, I got up to some basic shit, but I got stuck in traffic on Saturday night
Where?
For 2 hours.
What happened?
On the M1 North.
Were they doing roadworks or?
It was kilometers of just standstill traffic.
That's so annoying.
Two hours later. Oh. Yeah, dude. I mean, you're just trying to get home.
Where were you going?
I was going home.
And did you see what the problem was?
Two buses in the middle of the highway.
Shit.
Oh, no.
I don't know whether the one was broken down and the other one was rescuing, but they were just there.
Mm. You know, so irritating. Yesterday also on the R21, they were doing some road works or something. Mm. And they just narrow everything to one lane. And everybody has to slow down and everybody has to go at like 5 kilometers an hour.
We had to turn off the cars. That's how bad it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I started watching DSTV on my phone.
God, how
you had 2 hours to kill.
Yeah, I had 2 hours to kill. So that ruined my Saturday, really.
Yeah, that would spoil my day, too.
There was another big taxi accident in Limpopo. It's just like top of mind now when you're driving around these taxis.
Mm.
And they're driving badly. Ugh.
Well, there's also not a lot of good maintenance that's carried out on them.
You know, my cousin and sister and I took a bit of a road trip yesterday. And out of, the 3 hours we were on the road, I was just sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, okay. Here's a truck coming towards us. Oh, no, here's a curve. It's scary how you think about this.
Well, listen, you were like type.
Does Oprah sweat in front of a bucket of chicken?
You guys see that there was an accident with a Ferrari at the
the festival.
The festival motoring.
Oh, yeah?
Mm.
How bad was it?
Apparently the girl is like in intensive care and it's bad.
Dude, that is hectic.
Apparently the brakes failed on this thing.
Was it on the actual track?
Yeah, someone sent a video to me. It looked horrible.
Oh no.
Yeah, she was busy filming it and then, she just drops her phone. And
I was there on Wednesday. Got to drive a few cars over there on the track.
Yeah, but you're a petrol head. This is what you do. Yeah. For those who don't know, Gugu's actually a motoring journalist, and he's reviewed cars and he's done all kinds of motoring features for television, for print, for radio, for all kinds of things.
Alice.
So this is his background. Mm. So he's big into that.
It was a privately owned Ferrari. Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Well, I think the driver was the owner.
Okay, I'll read up more on it.
Anyway, it's a horrible thing to happen, and I hope you didn't have anything like that happen to you this weekend. All right, a few messages, and then we'll get to the 5 things you need to know this morning. I can't get up without the show. May you grow old and become wise, Sam. Well, Sam, if it doesn't happen soon, it's going to be
Growing old is inevitable.
Yeah, Carl says, happy birthday, Gareth. It's just another day. Stop making such a fuss about it, for fuck's sake, Carl.
What great reassurance from Carl.
I know what he means.
So this message then won't cut it for you. Count your life by smiles, not tears. Count your age by friends, not years. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Leanne. That's
that
really
one's
shit.
From me.
Yeah, thanks. You went
so genuine as well.
You went and sourced the worst thing she could find.
I've got a whole list of them, actually.
Okay, a couple more.
Okay. Another year of adventure awaits. Welcome it by celebrating your birthday with pomp and splendor.
Wait, that one's not too bad. That sounds like something else.
Happy birthday. Your life is about to pick up speed and blast off into the stratosphere. Oh, wear a seatbelt and be sure to enjoy the journey.
Okay, I'm saving that one for
Pulko. That's so crap.
Oh.
That is so crap. That is horrible.
Count not the candles. See the lights they give. Count not the years, but the life you live.
Oh.
Wishing you a wonderful time on your birthday.
Guys.
See, it gets all emotional about this stuff. You're ridiculous, yeah.
No, well, I did grow up in a family that made a massive deal about birthdays.
No, of course.
All of our birthdays started off the same way. We'd get woken up by my mother or both parents, and they'd come to your bedroom door, and they'd knock the number of years you're turning.
I'll tell them to futsak.
That's why you have not grown up to be a nice person like Sia.
A friend of mine had her baby's first one-year birthday this weekend. And you won't actually believe the lengths that parents go to these days. She had a first-year birthday. There were over 100 people, 100 guests.
Wow. You shouldn't do that for a one-year-old.
She says it's for the family. It's not for the child.
Yeah, still.
Catering, design, balloon arches, vegan cakes. Yeah, lots.
Well,
many tens of thousands of rand.
Well, you know what? That's very nice of people to do that. I just think you're setting a very hard precedent for your child and for you, because now they're going to expect every birthday after that to get even more insane. It's completely unnecessary. Hey, good morning.
How's it, Kenneth?
What's up?
Nothing much. Happy birthday.
Thanks, bro.
Just two things. Firstly, yesterday I spoke about you. They were talking about radio stations and stuff, and I kept on harping and saying, fucking radio's dead.
Yeah.
And everybody I was with was like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Okay. Talk to me in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
And secondly, why does Leanne put her sexual reading voice on when she reads those birthday messages?
I didn't mean to sound sexual, but thank you.
Yeah, well, you did that all. Come now, ETV.
Yeah. She does that, though. She just doesn't even realize she's putting it on.
Yeah, she doesn't even,
when she's, and then the men, they swarm, and there's nothing she can do. She just doesn't even.
Off.
Yeah, she has to beat them off with a stick and sometimes beat them off. Yeah.
All right,
dude. Have a happy day. Thanks, man.
Cool.
And you've got more on friends. You've got to find other friends.
Yeah. Okay,
cool. Those people, they don't. I mean, come on, really? They argue with you like they know anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Bye. Cheers. Bye.
Well, it is 6:30. Let's find out what's in the news. Dun, 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 dun. You want the breaking news? I suppose it's just normal news. Let's just do it as is. Okay. First of all, South Africa is mourning the death of businesswoman Dr. Thandi Ndlovu. She was killed in a car accident Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. According to reports, Ndlovu was on her way to a funeral in Rustenburg when she was involved.
No.
Yeah, in a head-on collision.
Ugh.
Very, very unfortunate. Very sad. She made her name in the construction business, served as the president of the Black Business Council for the built environment. Ndlovu launched Moteo Construction in 1999. The company acquired a grade 9 certificate level from the Construction Industry Development Board. Meanwhile, people and organizations have poured out their grief on Twitter. People saying, very nice things about her and what a strong woman she was, what a leader she was. I remember her on the cover of Forbes Africa magazine. She was a really, she was an impressive woman. I met her, I think, a couple of times. And she really was a very, very sharp businesswoman.
Sure.
So that's a very sad story and not good news for the construction industry because we need as much leadership as we can get there at the moment. Anyway.
Well, Sia was saying this morning that something seems to have broken on Twitter but not in the news. And that's that David Gagana, the sports presenter, the SABC soccer analyst, has died.
What?
However, if you search news articles or if you search Google, there's nothing of the sort. There's only an article which was published just yesterday morning about him and his wife, his estranged sugar mama, over the division of their estate and control of their company. Apparently his wife, Leslie Jane Gagana, had applied for an order in the Joburg High Court to force him to hand over share certificates of trust accounts he allegedly took when vacating their multi-million rand home in Danefern.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. We'll have to just keep our eye out. And
yeah, I'm always nervous when I see that people are saying someone's died on social media, because usually they're talking nonsense.
Exactly.
Then it just starts its own, you know, it's got this vicious kind of cycle.
Hmm.
Five things you need to know about the new IFP leader, Velinkosi Hlabisa. He's the guy he's taken over from, Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who's well into his 90s now. And he's 54, which in the IFP makes him a spring chicken.
Young and fresh.
Yes. So, Hlabisa joined the IFP in 1978. He served the party in various structures, including serving as a public representative. He looks like he's going to take over here and change things a little bit. In the early hours of Sunday morning, the IFP elected him as their new party president. He takes over from 90-year-old party founder, Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who's led the party since 1975.
But I mean, my maths is questionable, but that means that he joined the party at around the age of 12. So it is all he's known, all his life.
Wow. Okay, yeah. There we go. Well, he's the oldest of 10 children. He joined the IFP as a teenager, as Leanne's just said here. In fact, he was 8 years old when he joined the IFP.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. He's a teacher by profession. He only worked for 5 years as a teacher, was quickly promoted as principal. He remained a principal for 20 years.
Hmm.
So, you know, those principals, they have principles.
I like a good principal.
Yes. Seasoned public servant, in that he has been in public office for 24 years. He was elected as a councillor. And in May, he was elected to the provincial legislature as the leader of the official opposition in KZN. Which is good. In an interview, he said he's got a high regard for Buthelezi. He called him a great influence in his life. And so he's taking over the IFP. There we go. Happy?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Gets a few ticks.
Parliament is going to amend the rules on the removal of the public protector. So apparently, Parliament is in a race against time to amend its rules ahead of public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane appearing before the Justice Committee on a proposal by the official opposition to remove her from office. This comes against the backdrop of a former deputy director for public prosecutions, that's Nomcobo Jiba, who successfully interdicted Parliament from going ahead with the process to remove her. So it's all very complicated, but they're trying to do that as quickly as they can. Jiba challenged Parliament in the Western Cape that it could begin the process of removing her while she was taking the Mokgoro report to court. So members of the programming committee were concerned this week that any head of a Chapter 9 institution may in future halt processes to remove them. So they're going to stop her in her tracks. That's their plan. Apparently also, more than 100 countries blocked efforts to loosen a ban on the trade of rhino horns, which has been in place for more than 40 years, at a conference in Geneva on Sunday. Eswatini, which is Swaziland, had proposed an amendment to allow the sale of its stock in white rhino horn and to exempt the country's 66 white rhinos from the ban.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a complex process.
It is a complex process, but I do think that ultimately if we create the conditions for a market to exist here and people want to buy rhino horn, and we've already got stockpiles of rhino horn, we may as well sell it, you know. Mm. Let the country make some money out of it. So we'll see what happens there.
And then use that money to protect...
to protect what rhinos there are, correct. And then the Congo, you know, we had that breakthrough the other day where the Congolese authorities and health workers had discovered a vaccine, effectively, against Ebola. Well, they have vaccinated more than 200,000 people against Ebola already in August. The government said on Sunday that it used a Merck vaccine they hope will reign in the world's second worst epidemic.
Just to bring it up again, that documentary, The Hot Zone, when they were initially trying out, when they didn't really know what Ebola was, but they were trying out some sort of like a multivitamin with people.
Yeah.
They were in the village areas and the rural areas where they were in very short supply of medicine and medical supplies. So they would use the same needle to inject about 10 people.
Oh, my God, really?
Which just defeated the whole object. That's how little people knew back then. Wow.
That is hectic. Anyway, this breakthrough is good news, though.
Mm.
figures released by the government showed that 204,000 people had been inoculated since the 8th of August. That's amazing.
That's good.
A total of 1,980 people have so far died in the epidemic of the 2,950 people suspected to have been infected. So if you get it, you don't normally make it. Clinically confirmed cases are a little lower, but it seems the second biggest death toll in the disease's history after a 2014-2016 outbreak in West Africa that killed 11,000 people. So stay away from the Ebola. Mm. All right, let's get Anthea in here. Let's talk about money. Shall we?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Monday morning, so we've got the money shot. We've got a couple of other interesting things happening today. I'll tell you about those in a moment. And Anthea Gardner's here, so we need to obviously play her song, which is the, for some people, it's the highlight of their whole day. This is what they, so let's play the original. I like the original, Donna Summer. Bring it on. Here we are, Anthea Gardner with the money shot. Someone sent me a photo of your book that they bought over the weekend. And they said they bought it purely on the recommendation that I put there, where I said, she works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. That's
brilliant.
The reason they bought it. Yeah. Well, there we go. All right, so Anthea, what's happening in the world of money?
Well, before I get to the money, happy birthday, Gareth.
Yes, and thank you for bringing me a present. You're very sweet.
But did you get what the present is?
No.
It's a money tree.
Let me see. Hang on.
Well, it's a plant, but so it's one of those.
Oh, look at that.
It's this, like, you know how Asians have different everythings, like superstitions for everything?
Yes.
I discovered that this one, oh, careful, it's just a
beautiful
plant. That this one, they believe, brings luck and money. So basically,
so hard for it, honey.
There
Thank you,
go.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Anthea. Right,
right. Nice. So to the markets. Okay. Sure. I mean, this is not the best environment to be managing money in, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Global markets last week were really just wait and see. Volumes were very low and just everywhere, up, down, just all over the place. And you know why? Because the president of the United States of America has become a little flip-flopper.
Oh, boy.
Have you got the clip I sent Sia?
Yes.
Please play it.
Donald Trump.
And then...
Yeah, listen to this. All right. Here.
Payroll tax is something that we think about, and a lot of people would like to see that.
I'm not looking at a tax cut now. We don't need it. We have a strong economy.
A lot of people have been talking about indexing for many years, and it's something that I am certainly thinking about.
I'm not looking at doing indexing, and I haven't been seriously looking at it, but certainly it is an option if I wanted to.
So he can't make up his mind.
The man's giving me whiplash. He literally on Tuesday was saying, right, we're going to cut payroll taxes and indexing is basically all about capital gains tax. And then on Wednesday, 24 hours later, came back and said, no, we're not going to cut payroll taxes. I mean, I get that they can't cut it. They've got R1 trillion in debt, trust me. That government cannot afford to cut taxes, right? Where else are they going to get money to pay this debt? But the point is, he just, 24 hours. That was literally 24 hours. Anyway, markets got hit pretty badly. Cyclical's the worst hit. And then, of course, he said, This deal with China is probably not going to happen, and he's adding an additional he's upping the tax or the tariffs from 20% to 25%, adding another $250 billion.
Oh, come on.
And that starts on the 1st of October. By Friday, the Chinese government had turned around and said, well, in that case, we are just going to impose retaliatory tariffs. And if you dare raise tariffs on Chinese goods, well, guess what? We're going to raise tariffs on U.S. goods up to the value of, what was it, $75 billion. So they're just going to put up tariffs by an additional 5 to 10% on its 5,000 odd goods. I mean, it's just getting out of hand. And then, of course, this whole thing with Trump not going to meet the prime minister of Denmark because Greenland is not up for sale.
Yeah, that was just bizarre.
Throwing his toys. How peculiar is this man?
Well, he is. He's very peculiar. And I do think that this is a major blunder on Trump's part. This whole Chinese trade tariff situation. You've discussed from the beginning, you know, I think the tariffs are a terrible idea. Government does not create an economy. Government create the conditions for an economy. Businesses create an economy. And it's something our government here still have to learn. But Trump should know this.
So that's so interesting, because everybody, we all say Trump should know, you know.
He doesn't know the biggest
economy on the globe, and so they should have. But he doesn't know. He's no better than any other emerging market
but
government.
But we thought, because he was in business before, that he would know that all government need to do to make business as successful as possible is stay out of the way. Instead, now that he's the government, he's trying to get involved.
That makes me very nervous, because when you said he was in business before, he should know. Cyril Ramaphosa was in business before.
That's exactly my point.
So let's see what happens there. Have you been seeing all the pictures of them at the G7? Oh, very smart.
Well, I saw a very funny picture of Trump and Boris pointing at each other. And I just thought, because, you know, they're both clowns. Like, they're both fairly hilarious people. And with their strange hair. And like, they're just weird guys. Mm. And now they're in charge, basically, of the world's economy.
Oh, it's scary.
It's like the lunatics are in charge of the asylum.
Oh, literally, yes. Yeah. I remember that from the 80s.
Tell us more.
Okay, and then back home, Moody's issued a statement in the week saying that they believe that South Africa's government will try to absorb the additional support for Eskom holdings. They also went on to say...
What does that mean? That we're going to have to pay for this?
Well, we already paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, but what is Moody's trying to do? They're saying something that's obvious.
Yes, so Moody's are saying, well, so the government already underwrites or guarantees Eskom's debt. So if I buy Eskom bonds and Eskom defaults, in fact, the government will pay me. Well, probably not 100 cents on the rand, but certainly some cents on the rand. And Moody's are saying that the government will continue to do this and maybe take it on their balance sheet themselves. And they're waiting for the October midterm budget, although they did go on to say that government doesn't actually have that much room to maneuver. So it's all very scary. I think they're setting us up for the downgrade, basically.
Yeah, which we knew was inevitable, especially because they just haven't got this Eskom thing right.
Well, we all thought it was inevitable, but they just kind of wouldn't do it, right? They kept on giving us a stay of execution and kept delaying it, and now maybe this is it. Anyway, some good news,
Come on, give it
July
to us.
July CPI inflation came in at 4% compared to June's reading of 4.5%, so well below the South African Reserve Bank's expectations. They were expecting 4.4% for July, and so we have another MPC meeting coming up. Oh, I don't actually know when it is. Must be third Thursday of September, because was the last one July?
Yeah,
must have been. So it'll be the third Thursday of September, and hopefully we'll get a rate cut. That's my good news. Shall I stop there?
No, I think that's really terrific. But
and stop talking.
But there are interesting things going on in the economy generally, and I think that a lot of people in the world are just nervous about where to put what money they have, because at the moment there just isn't a clear, you know, clear case for any particular thing.
Okay.
If you were in America and you did have stocks and shares, now with this supposed capital gains tax change, which Trump is flip-flopping about, you might not get the kind of returns that you'd want before.
And don't forget, their bonds are pricing, their 10 years, 1.6%.
Right.
So it's not negative yet, but there's a lot of talk that it will go negative. I don't think that U.S. bonds will go negative in a hurry. I mean, from 1.6 yield to negative is a massive step. You know, it's kind of it seems small in nominal kind of 2% terms, but in relative terms, it's huge. German bonds are already negative. Swiss bonds have been negative for years. And I think the point is exactly what you were saying, Gareth, is that where do we put our money now?
Yeah.
So I look every single day at the stock market, and then Trump tweets and wastes my time, but complete all my theories out the window when he tweets, but never mind.
Yeah.
That's not my point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that equities are very volatile. South African shares are so cheap at the moment, but there is no catalyst for growth. There's no reason for them to increase, right? And so already we've seen a huge move from shares, people with big share portfolios moving into fixed income, into bonds, which in South Africa, you're still getting a decent yield, you know? So on my money market fund, you're getting about 7.4% at the moment, which is almost double what the banks are offering you right now.
Right.
And that's fairly risk-free. And the point I was trying to make about bonds and yields is that the reason they are negative yields is because actually people are happy to pay banks for a safe haven for their cash. So in a recession, cash is kind of king. And even if you are paying somebody to look after your cash, it seems to be an okay thing to do at the moment, which is such an interesting phenomenon in the economy because it doesn't happen that often. You know, kind of, I don't know, when last we had negative yields on government bonds. I'll have to go and look that up. It'll be interesting to see. And then as I was saying, you know, like shares are at the moment are so cheap. And last week, again, we saw a couple of shares report. We had ShopRite and Mr. Price. And this really talks to this low CPI inflation number because one of the problems, kind of especially with ShopRite and food inflation, is because food inflation is decreasing, the shops can't pass inflation on to their clients. So imagine you're paying wages, and then you're increasing wages by, let's say, 4 to 6% around inflation, but you're not getting an increase in revenue because there's no inflation on the products that you're selling. Good for the consumer that you're not passing on this inflationary pressure from wages, but not from external. So they're kind of in this very difficult spot at the moment. ShopRite's earnings fell in the region of 20%.
Good Lord, that is bad.
Shocking, huh? Yeah. And there's almost nothing.
Really, the last 10 years have done Christo Visa no good.
Shame this man.
5 years, the last 5 years, yeah.
He's suffering a little bit. Well him and his billions are suffering.
Sure, so tough.
Yeah. And then Mr. Price also reported, again, we saw a slowdown in sales for the first 4 months of the financial year. And again, they're saying not much they can do, slowing economy, a squeeze on the consumer. They did say, though, this was interesting, I noted, that they were seeing early signs from spring and summer sales. Mm. So people are shopping for spring and summer. Okay. Where they're getting the money from, I'm not sure. But people are shopping at Mr. Price.
Wow.
Fast fashion, here we come.
All right, good.
Now you know what to look forward to for this year's season.
Any news at this point in terms of consumer spending is good news. Because I think the retail industries have taken such a knock.
You're spot on. And in fact, the spending, we saw the number come in, not last week, the week before, was slightly higher than we were expecting. So I think there does seem to be a little bit of a turn in the consumer sentiment. Suddenly, you know, we got a 0.25% interest rate cut a month ago, a month and a half ago, and suddenly the consumer feels flush. Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right, very nice. Thank you.
Pleasure. Have a good week.
We probably should have mentioned one or two of the stories from outside of our own economy and maybe talk about Africa's Amazon Jumia, which is one of the companies that I know you wanted to talk about. What happened to them?
So they're called Africa's Amazon because that's kind of what they're claiming that they're going to do. But the share
retailer, right?
Yes, right. The share fell 16% in one day. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday. Sure. After they said that salespeople were stuffing the pipeline. So basically, they've got salespeople saying, okay, I've got $100 million worth of orders. But when the orders actually come through, it's only $50 million worth. Oof. And basically, that's what it's all about. So not looking good. You know, this kind of, I mean, it's hard to imagine that Africa could create an Amazon. We just don't have the internet infrastructure that they have in the developed world.
Yeah, I still think that we're not there yet.
Yeah, you know? not there yet.
And you can even see it with local businesses like Take a Lot and those kinds of things. They're growing, but they're not growing exponentially. You know, they're growing slowly.
Absolutely, that's right. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
Good stuff. Anthea Gardner, very nice to speak to you, and thank you for my present, my money plant.
The money tree. It grow in greens and greens and greens.
What do I want? I have no desire for anything in my life. I'm very happy right now. But if I can have more money, who wouldn't want that?
Look.
Then I can buy Sia his fancy birthday party.
Buy his happiness, really.
No, just give me a blank check.
Okay, Sia, you know what? That's fine. I'll do that.
Not asking for too much.
Sure, blank check, because you know what you'll fill in there, and then I'll be your slave for the rest of your life. All right. We got to talk cryptocurrencies. We can talk Revix with Sean Saunders. We're going to find out a little bit about Beyond Bitcoin, and he's on the line right now. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, very good. And yourself?
Awesome. Anthea, I was just saying to her now, where do we take our money when everything seems to be much more complicated than it was before? You know, Trump talking about capital gains tax on stocks in America, and people are suddenly thinking, maybe it is time for cryptocurrencies. I know that that's something that you're trying to get people to understand.
Yes. I think people get caught up on the currency part of cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Because we like to think of these as crypto assets, because a lot of people expect to have Bitcoin or Litecoin and go out and be able to buy their Starbucks latte using it. And this is just not really how the asset class works. So, you know, we prefer this term crypto asset.
Right.
And we believe the right way to think about these assets are simply to view them as a way to send value over the internet without an intermediary. And you must remember that crypto assets are collectively an early stage technology. So the applications we expect to see develop will be diverse and not solely focused on payments as we're expecting today.
Well, listen, this is the last time we're going to be speaking to you for a while. It's interesting to me that Revix is a great test case scenario. This is probably not the best year in the world for a local business like yours to have come up and to try and get people to understand cryptocurrencies and crypto assets, as you say. But it's gone very well, right? I mean, how many people are currently trading in your platforms?
We just got under 1,000.
Fantastic.
And, I mean, we've been operational for 4 months now. So, I mean, it's been a fantastic start for us. And we did kind of start with this ridiculous crypto bull market where I say ridiculous because, you know, no asset class generally should increase by 120% in 35 days. And that's, you know, from the moment we launched to 35 days later, that's kind of what happened, which was, I suppose, good and bad. Good in the sense that a lot of investors came on board. Bad in the sense that, you know, naturally a lot of people got involved at the height of that. And, you know, they're down a few percent now today, a few percent being between 10 and 20%. And that's just kind of the way crypto works. But, you know, on that point, I think people view cryptocurrency as this exceptionally volatile asset class, which it is. Like, don't get me wrong, it definitely is. But if you look at the JSE Top 40 Index, that's down 11% in Rand terms year to date. And, you know, you throw in the dollar rate, which, if I'm not mistaken, is roughly about 8%. And that's the depreciation of the Rand versus the dollar. And you're looking at a negative 20% return over the last 12 months of a JSE Top 40 Index investment.
So, yeah. And, you know, so tell me what volatility really looks like.
Yeah, I mean, in crypto, you're looking at a 5% move every single day. That could be a 20% move over a week. But the difference is that can be a 20% move up. It could be a 20% move down. And the difference is that over a longer period of time, so over a 1 to 2 year period, you're looking at not just maybe a 10 or 20% gain as you would with the S&P 500 index or the JSE Top 40 index, you could be looking at a 300 or 400 or 500% return gain. And this is just kind of the way that we've seen crypto work. Over the last 10 years, crypto's outperformed every other asset class with the exception of only 2 years. And what we see is an incredible increase. I mean, you're talking years of 1,200% or 5,000% return every year.
Yeah.
And then a pullback of between 50 to 75%. And, you know, this is very different to other asset classes that you have out there. And if you think about what makes crypto really special is that it has high potential returns, it has high volatility, it has a lack of correlation to other asset classes, and then most importantly, it has daily liquidity, which means that you can enter and exit your investment very quickly without significant costs.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when you look at something with these kind of return and correlation profiles, you're looking at an early stage startup. And the difference is here that you have the benefit of liquidity. With an early stage startup, you'd be locked in for 7 to 8 years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just on this point of returns and correlation and liquidity and all the rest, we did this interesting study where we took a hypothetical stock portfolio. We solely looked at the S&P 500, and we added just a 1% allocation to our top 10 crypto bundle. And over a 5 year period, we found that adding a small allocation, so just this 1% allocation, increased returns by 4.9% per annum without really impacting your volatility because you've only got 1% of your portfolio in
right.
the top 10 bundle. And if you added a 5% allocation to the top 10 bundle, you doubled your returns. So it's this weird asymmetrical return profile that comes about with crypto. So, you know, it's a unique asset class. And while people maybe shouldn't be putting 10% of their portfolio in crypto, a 1% to 5% allocation to this, you know, game-changing new technology may be a smart move for many investors.
Well, I think that you've articulated the position very well. I read something very interesting the other day, someone who was explaining what the benefit and the value of the market, the free market, is in a world where, you know, no one person can know everything, but the collective wisdom of the market helps us to determine prices and all kinds of other things. And obviously, you know, cryptocurrencies are a beneficiary of that kind of wisdom writ large. My question, though, is a while ago, people were saying whales and these big influencers and these people who were trying to manipulate the crypto market, that they were outsized in terms of their proportional effect on the market. Are they still such a threat from the point of view that they can make one small withdrawal and send cryptocurrencies plummeting?
Yeah, they without a doubt are still a risk to the crypto market. I think, you know, don't quote me on this necessarily, but you've got 4 to 7% of all of Bitcoin's holdings are held amongst I think it's 100 or 200 individuals. So, you know, that's quite staggering if you think about that compared to any other asset class. And actually, this is just part and parcel of an immature asset class. And you know, at Revix, we're just saying, well, you know, let's rather be open and transparent about this, because there are problems with the crypto asset class, and problems being opportunities for a lot of investors as well. You know, sure. At some point in time, most of the world's gold was held by 3 or 4 countries.
Yep.
And today, that's actually held between 5 or 6 countries. So the market's changed quite a lot. But you've still got, in most asset classes actually, a small select group of investors that own more than own a disproportionate amount of the market, really.
That's terrific. It's terrific in some ways, because I suppose it also just shows you that Pareto principle where things are not distributed evenly, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
All right.
I think a lot of people must just remember that this is still a really early stage technology.
Sure.
So people dealing with crypto today, and I mean people that are actually using it, they're technologists and early adopters, and you know this will really expand in the future. I mean, if you think about email. Email as a technology was developed in the 80s, and for the first 10 years, no one used it. It was clunky, and you know, again, just like with crypto today, the only people using it were academics, technologists, and early adopters.
Right.
Then we got Outlook, Hotmail, and Yahoo Mail, and all these other, you know, easy to use platforms and applications, mm-hmm. and the adoption curve kind of just went parabolic, and that's what we believe will happen with crypto as well.
Well, thank you, and it's been really good to chat to you over the last couple of weeks. If anybody hasn't yet made the call and decided to go and try their hand at some of this, it's really easy to do. 500 Rand, you can enter the market, and you can go and back one of the indices that Sean and the guys at Revix have set up. Revix.com, go and sign up today and try it. You might be really pleased you did it. In a couple of years' time, when you have a huge investment that's really starting to bear fruit, you'll say, I remember the day that I heard about this and I started. So there we go. Sean Saunders, thank you very much, man.
Thanks very much, Gareth. I really had a great time on the podcast.
Thanks,
and,
bro.
Yeah, I wish you guys all the best.
All good. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. There's Sean Saunders and Revix. Go to Revix.com for more info. When we come back, we got some news and some other very cool stuff for you. Hang on. Just tight. Don't go anywhere.
This is CliffCentral.com.